From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series of studies in the book of Judges, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message entitled, The Price of Backsliding. Shamgar, the third judge of Israel, had died. Repeating a pattern that pervades the book of Judges, the people had fallen away from God as soon as Shamgar's influence was gone. Consequently, God gave them into bondage to Jabin, the king of Canaan. The danger to the Church of Jesus Christ is no different today than it was in the days of the Judges. When God's people fail to deal drastically with sin, either in the church or in their personal lives, backsliding and apostasy soon follow, for sin has consequences. The answer for the church today is the same as it was for Israel, to cry to God for forgiveness and for revival. May the Lord deliver us from being satisfied with little, when we should be enjoying the fullness He has promised to an obedient people. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please listen to this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our selection today is called To Glorify Christ Jesus. The text is John chapter 16 and verse 14, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. The Holy Ghost himself cannot better glorify the Lord Jesus than by showing to us Christ's own things. Jesus is his own best commendation. There is no adorning him except with his own gold. The Comforter shows us that which he has received of our Lord Jesus. We never see anything aright till he reveals it. He has a way of opening our minds and of opening the Scriptures, and by this double process he sets forth our Lord to us. There is much art in setting forth a matter, and that art belongs in the highest degree to the Spirit of truth. He shows us the things themselves. This is a great privilege, as those know who have enjoyed the hallowed vision. Let us seek the illumination of the Spirit, not to gratify our curiosity, nor even to bring us personal comfort, so much as to glorify the Lord Jesus. Oh, to have worthy ideas of Him! Groveling notions dishonor our precious Lord. Oh, to have such vivid impressions of His person and work and glory, that we may with heart and soul cry out to His praise. Where there is a heart enriched by the Holy Ghost's teaching, there will be a Savior glorified beyond expression. Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly light, and show us Jesus, our Lord.
Rejoicing in your
often see the word revival on a church marquee. And yet, what really constitutes revival? Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the western coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. At that time, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. And yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying out for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak makes available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling, or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of the revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
is always difficult. I say this by way of explanation. It is always difficult in every detail for a Christian to, or for a minister to apply to a given moment in time, something like what happened in Judges 4. But follow me carefully. God sold them. Jehovah, God of the covenant, God of the promises, sold them into the hand of Jabin. Do you think that there were no special congresses and committees of Israelites to discuss how they would overcome Jabin? I think you'd be wrong in that. They could identify the problems politically, economically, socially, maybe even religiously. If I know anything of human nature, they formed and concocted their schemes as to how best they could break Jabin. I have no doubt even that some of them would have invoked the very covenant and said, we are the Israel of God, and we this and we the other thing, and we are determined. But it was all to no avail, for it was God who had sold them into the hand of Jabin. Sin has a terrible consequence. If you're in this meeting tonight and you're not saved, your sin has the consequence of eternal punishment in hell. The soul that sinneth it shall die. The wages of sin is death. Man or woman or young person, if you're not a Christian, do not take your sin lightly. Your sin nailed the Son of God to the tree. Your sin will bring your soul to hell. It's a fearful, terrible reality. It's a dread enemy. I trust tonight that you'll get to the cross to get rid of that sin. Get to the cross where the burden can roll away. Sin has terrible consequences. You'd need to be saved from sin without delay. But even in the life of a Christian, sin has terrible consequences. The Lord sold them, gave them up to bondage. You think of it, 20 years of bondage. What a waste. What a waste. 20 long years where Israel was under the thraldom of a wicked enemy. You know, for some people, that was an entire lifetime. For some people, that was the entire useful part of the term God gave them on earth. For some people, those 20 years were the only opportunity they were ever to have in this world of doing anything for God. Wasted. Blighted because of sin. What a punishment. I wonder how many blighted, wasted lives, even in a meeting like this, do we have tonight? How many lives that are being lived out? They're just the shell of a life. With no spiritual power, no spiritual reality. Going no place in particular with God. Leaving no mark for God. I wonder how many 20 years of bondage, if I could just lift the quotation here, have we in this meeting tonight? You know, the awful thing is that it appears that it wasn't until the end of 20 years that the children of Israel got serious about getting right with God. After 20 years, we have their prayer. In verse 3, at last they prayed. At last they called on God. At last they confessed their backsliding. At last they were willing for the judge to apply the word. At last they were looking for God to intervene. It would appear from the life of Deborah that ones and twos were coming to her, seeking her out, and she was giving them judgment. I can't go into the details as to why I put it that way, rather than having her sit in all the splendor of a magistrate. But it would appear that a trickle of people came. And then God began to work in their heart until they prayed. But when they prayed, God answered. Believer, you don't need 20 years of bondage. You don't need to have 5 years of bondage. You don't need to have another hour of bondage. As soon as God's people cry to God, He answers prayer. They prayed, and what a mighty answer God gave in the person of Deborah, Barak, and Jael. Man or woman, if you're in the meeting tonight as a Christian, and you say, "Preacher, those opening verses of Judges 4 just sum up my life. Tonight my heart is convicted and cut by the word of God because of where I am spiritually." And my friend, it's time for you to do serious business with God. It's time to get on your face before the Lord. It's time to take seriously the things of God. It's time to call upon the Lord as an individual. Then as a church. Have we got used to little of God's blessing? Have we become so used to little of God's authority and power that we neither expect nor want anything much more? Have we only the vocabulary, the empty words of asking for blessing, or do we have a heart that can never be satisfied unless it is enjoying the fullness of Christ, the fullness of His Spirit, the fullness of His power, and the evident marks of His blessing? Let's pray for that tonight. We pray with honesty. Our God will answer with alacrity. As soon as they pray, God answers. What a picture. Let me close this meeting with this appeal. My sinner friend, get on your knees tonight to cry for God's pardon, and you'll have pardon before you rise from your knees. You'll get saved. My backslider friend, get on your knees before God and cry to Him, and you will have a restoration as soon as you pray. Of course, that's but the beginning. The answer to the church and its need is not just another decision, but it is in a getting to God and a going on with God and an application of the sword of God to our lives. There's a place in the Old Testament scriptures to which we need to come spiritually. Joshua brought the children of Israel over the Jordan. He first brought them to Gilgal, the place where the covenant was renewed, where circumcision was reinstituted, where there was the cutting away of the flesh, and there was the rolling. Gilgal has the idea and the meaning, significance of rolling. There was the rolling away of the shame. we need to come to Gilgal tonight. And spiritually, we can never leave Gilgal, though actually from Gilgal and in the power of that experience, we will conquer our Jerichos and our 31 kings, as Joshua did, and we will enter into blessing and victory. May God grant us conviction. May God grant us repentance. And may God again stir our souls to bring us into the experience of His fullness, His blessing, and His power. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word. We pray that thou wilt speak now in the stillness to every waiting heart. Take what has been said, strip away all that is of man. Lord, let the polished shaft of thy word penetrate every heart. Our God, we pray that thou wilt uncover to the consciences of men and women, young people, their true spiritual condition, show the sinner his need of salvation, and bring him to Christ. Lord, show the backslider the misery of that awful condition. Show the man or the woman who's been letting things slip what it is to look afresh to Christ and to live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. Oh God, bless thy word. Give fruit for its proclamation. And oh, we long for the day when thou wilt arise and scatter thine enemies. We long for the day, our God, when thou wilt visit thy church with a renewed outpouring of thy Spirit. When once again thou wilt give to this pulpit and to the pulpits of thy churches across this nation the trumpet voice of heavenly authority, a voice that will be heard and will move men and will turn the hearts of many to Christ. Lord, we long for the return of God's Spirit in power, in revival fullness, in a mighty tide of blessing that not all the agents of hell will be able to hold back. Great God of wonders, come in our midst and do these wonders of grace. Hear our prayer and grant us a superabundant answer. Part is now with thy blessing. The blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be our abiding portion this Sabbath evening and evermore, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, Or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.